Welcome to Two Therapists Talking. The hope for this podcast is to talk about important issues related to couples and individuals who are struggling in their lives with many different issues. I'm David Thompson, a marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Sherry Christensen, marriage and family therapist. Please join us as we explore these issues together, and we hope you will learn and be enlightened along the way. Come find us at twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast. Hello, and welcome back to Two Therapists Talking. I'm Sherry.
And I'm David.
And we are doing our second part of our episodes on motivation.
Motivation.
So if you've missed that first episode, go back and pick that up and take a listen. We'll get you started on generally some concepts around motivation, as well as our first three key strategies to help improve and work on motivation. So the first three that we have already talked about are setting clear, achievable goals, connecting to your why, and taking small actions.
You might be thinking those are really good. How is there another six steps? You would think that would about cover it. But there's more steps, and they're really good steps too.
Yes, they're all really good things that can help.
If you remember, the idea is based off Atomic Habits and James Clear, who said,
"Yes,
we don't rise to the level of our goals, we fall to the level of our systems." And with that in mind,
yay, this is our number four.
Number four, create routines and systems, or you might hear dailies a lot in therapy. Dailies. Build habits around your goals so it becomes automatic.
100%.
And this is all we want, is for the system that helps us to achieve the goal.
Yeah.
For it to be as habitual as we can possibly make
it. Yes. Automatic as possible. It really just, you want your system and your routine to do the heavy lifting for you.
Yep.
You don't want to have to be making conscious decisions to do your goals, to achieve your things, to be motivated to get through. There's just...
Because you won't.
You won't. Like, you just can't. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's research and stuff out there that talk about that. You know, your brain starts getting stressed in any way, shape, or form, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, right? And then you've got about 15 minutes of capacity. And then your brain is like, and I'm done. So until you revamp that and beef that back up again, you have 15 minutes. So if you don't have these systems and these things in place, then your brain has to do the heavy lifting, and you've got 15 minutes on a good day, you know, on a good moment.
And you're constantly asking yourself, how do I feel? What do I want to do? How do I feel? What do I want to do?
Yeah.
Which, again, is going to change so much based on the day and everything that's happening, that you might say, oh, I think it'd probably be good sometimes to read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Well, if you don't have a system in place, and this is kind of the example, if you want to read more, set a specific time and place for reading daily.
Yep.
It's so much easier when it's more a matter of what time is it? What day is it? What should I be doing?
Right.
And then you do that thing, and you do it enough that you start to automatically just do the thing.
Right.
And you look back and go, oh, I set a goal of 10 pages a day, and I've read 3,650 pages this year. Now, how many books is that?
Yes.
So the system, don't make it a how do I feel in the moment. Make the decision before the moment, because you have that routine in place.
Exactly. That needs to be doing all of your heavy lifting for you. And when you do that, then again, it helps with those tiny steps. It helps with the motivation, because you don't have to expend precious mental energy deciding to do the little step.
Based on willpower.
Yes. Uh-oh. You're literally just getting up and, you know, oh, the timer went off. I do this now. This is what I do. And then you can use your brain for brain power for the other things that you need to do.
Yep.
But yes, that specific time, place, this is just what I do. This is what I do. This is what I do. This is what I do. And it makes it so much easier. And again, then you do that little thing, you start doing that thing, and you've automatically given yourself more motivation because you've done something. And so it keeps rolling that forward, and then you're able to do more in that system, more the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. So if you've got a solid routine, daily routine, you are going to be so much more successful with all of your goals.
Definitely. Definitely.
So our question, as we're talking about that, is what routine will you build to achieve this goal? And you've got to be very specific
about and it will routine. Depend. Yeah, it will depend on the goal, of course. So yep. If it's working out versus reading versus a goal of patience or recovery, mm-hmm. all of these are going to be different. What kind of routines do you have in place?
Yeah. And you're going to need those steps that we did before, where you're setting those measurable goals, you know, all of those things that we're talking about before, to help put those things in place into your routine, into your system. So when I get home from work, I'm going to do this, 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 and then I'm going to do my recovery work. I'm going to read my book. I'm going to put my gym clothes on and just put my gym clothes on this week. And then next week I'll add going at leaving the house or whatever it is, right? But put that into your system, into your routine.
Yep.
And you can even tag things, right? To things that you already do, right? So if you want to, you know, set a goal, you know, you want to be healthy, have hygiene, you know, you want to floss your teeth every day and you never floss or whatever, tagging it to brushing and you do it right before the brushing, then that's going to help. Like, oh, this is what I do. Oh, I'm going into brush. Oh, I got to do my floss first, right? And then you start, so you're tagging it to right before
right.
something that you are already good at, something that is already a routine or a habit.
Right.
That's a really good way to do things, is tagging it to something like that. So that could be something you do with reading or something you do with, like, even working out. Like the second I wake up, that's just what I do. And it's tagged to, before I eat breakfast, I have to da da da, you know.
Right.
Or before I shower, I have to go do push-ups.
Number 5, remove barriers and try to make it easy. So. Yeah. Reduce. So here's the idea. Reduce friction by preparing in advance if you can. So we keep mm-hmm. staying on this exercise because I think this is a pretty common goal.
Right,
so.
Right. And it's, you know, early in the year. So
yeah, that's
people
true.
Are still thinking about that. The gyms are really busy right now. It's kind of annoying.
Don't worry. It won't be
too busy. It won't be too much longer. Well, yeah. Hopefully, maybe they'll all listen to the podcast and then they'll be like, okay, I'm doing this
that
now.
That would be awesome. So, for example, reduce friction. I want to work out. So the night before, I will lay out workout clothes. Actually, yes. I do this. This makes a difference for me because I have a chair right off the side of my bed and my clothes will be on the chair. And it actually is almost like, well, my clothes are sitting there. Am I going to leave my clothes there?
Yeah.
Weird, right? But little things like that works. Or if you have your protein drink sitting there.
Yes.
Or easy to grab. Yep. It just is a little easier.
Yep. You're just reducing everything that you can. It's huge. It's really huge. And a lot of times, you know, when you're doing that in advance, then you're putting those things out in place at a time when you don't have to have the motivation to actually do the thing. So it's easy. Right. Or it's much easier to just put it out there because, well, I'm not working out right now. Like, I don't have to have the motivation to work out now.
It is. I'm like, I'm just putting clothes out. No big deal. This is tomorrow morning.
Yeah. This is so far in the future. It's just not even a thing.
Yep.
Right? Exactly. So reducing that friction.
And then, ironically, on some goals, you kind of want to increase friction in certain things or make unwanted habits harder. So for example,
Yeah.
This is a good one for me too. keeping junk food out of the house.
Oh, it's such
well,
a thing.
Yeah. For me, we have a cupboard that's full of things that I probably shouldn't be eating. And not even on purpose, just like we have
just
stuff.
Where it ends
and
up.
Yeah, that's where we put it. And this cupboard is kind of, it's got to be off limits for me.
Yeah.
And I will actually tell visitors or my kids, hey, you should eat some of those treats. You should get them down. You should, because I'm trying to make it harder for me after watching Beat Bobby Flay and that I want something comes up. And I open the cupboard and those Oreos are gone, which normally, Kay, I would not have told my kids, hey, we have Oreos just so you know.
Yeah,
yeah right. They're going to be gone within just a few days. But for me, that helps me because I can't. They're gone. So for some things, you do want to increase
friction,
increase friction, making it harder to do the
to
thing.
To break your goal.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yep. Yeah. I'm right now eating like, no, I'm not eating processed foods and I'm not eating sugar and I'm not eating flour. Like I'm not eating a lot of that stuff. And it's so much easier to just have it all cleared out and whatever. Cause then when you're having that moment when your brain's just tired and worn out and you're like, I just want chocolate. It's like, well, I don't have any. Do I want it? Do I want it? Do I want to break my goal badly enough to leave my house and go drive somewhere and get it?
Right.
No.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
And this is why sometimes with recovery, for example, charging your phone in the living room or the kitchen, it's not even in your in your room. And you think, well, that's not a big deal to just get up and go and get it. And you're right, it's not. But it's just one more.
Yes.
One more barrier.
It's a bigger deal.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. It's a huge deal for me. Like, for example, I can get lost on social media very easily. And so, but.
Just you.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
No,
but
nobody
keep
else
going.
Has this problem. Oh, so yeah. But if I have access to it on my phone, 100%, like at some point, I'm not that 15-minute window. Like I won't have it. I won't have what I need to say, no, I'm not doing that thing. But if I have to access it on my computer, I will never get on, ever.
That's true. Yeah. Who accesses social media on their computer?
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Yep.
So, you know, again, how much longer does it take to go over, flip up the computer, log in, you know, the computer's got the password memorized anyway. Yeah. Like it takes like all of 2 minutes, but it is enough of a barrier that I will 100% never look at it.
Right. So be smart about this.
Mm-hmm.
Use barriers, make the things you want to do easy, make the things you don't want to do harder. Yep.
Yep.
So here's the question. What barriers can you remove and what unwanted habits can you make harder? So what barriers to remove, what barriers to add?
Yeah. Yep.
Alarm across the room because you got to get up and out of bed or put it.
Yes.
Don't use your phone. Use a real alarm and put it under your bed, right in the middle of your bed where it's like
you have to
get down and reach under. I've actually had someone do that. So
that's amazing. So I'm thinking about this sort of in ADHD things and we're looking at, so one of the goal or one of the things that we implement a lot is alarms, right? Alarms for everything. Cause the brain just can't grasp onto that and remember.
We need
those
a little
things.
More structure in that situation.
You've
got
to have more structure. And one of the things I will tell them is you are not allowed to turn it off until you are actually in the process of doing the thing.
Okay.
Because it is more, it's structure, but people just come back and they're like,
that's
oh, yeah, I set the alarm, but then I turned it off,
turn
and
it
then
off.
I was
yeah.
like, and then I got distracted doing the thing, something else, or I was on the way, and then whatever. So, you know, again, that's like a thing that you can put in there. Like, I cannot turn this off until I am actually in process.
Right.
Of doing the thing. And then that gives me, it removes a barrier of trying to remember it on my own, but then it takes out the unwanted quote unquote habit of I just get distracted anyway. Like I'm doing the thing, but then I'm going to get distracted moving this way or that way, or on the way up the stairs, then I see this and that, and I put that away. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, I'm doing something completely different. Yep. And 3 hours later, I remember, oh, I was supposed to be doing that other thing. So again, yeah, it's what barriers can you move? What unwanted habits can you make harder?
Yes.
All right. Number 6, use rewards and accountability.
This helps a lot.
Yeah. So you want to reward your progress with something that you enjoy. And this doesn't have to be material something.
Right. Doesn't have to cost money.
Or be food. I feel like so much of the time it's just like reward. It's food. It's food. Doesn't have to be food. I guess with certain goals, you don't want it to be food, right?
Yeah.
But something that you enjoy, and accountability, finding like an accountability partner, coach, somebody to check in with, somebody that knows what you're doing, and you can report, you can return and report. They're both really important and different, right? So what are things that you enjoy doing? Right? What are things that you can put on there as a reward? Like, I know people that are like, oh yeah, when I do my little thing, it is food, but it's like, I have my little special treat as I do this task that I really hate and don't have a lot of motivation to do.
Right.
Right. So that's the only time I get to eat my little treat, or, you know, I can only watch my show if I'm on the bike or the treadmill.
Yep. Or you can use social media as a reward.
Uh-huh.
You say, I get 10 minutes to go through reels, but only when I've done this thing. And I have to set a timer. It's not an indefinite, I do this whatever for 10 forever. Minutes. And now I get 2 hours. No, not exactly how it works, but use it. Yes. I mean, it works. You're being rewarded in your brain for going through these reels and laughing and, you know, forwarding on to friends and all that stuff. That's great. We just use it to our advantage to accomplish the goal that we want to accomplish.
Yes. And that's so important, because sometimes if you're struggling with motivation to do, then if you've got this like big fun, you know, this fun thing at the end of that, it's like, oh, okay. It really, really helps. And again, the accountability partner, huge.
Yeah.
Having someone to check in with, whether that's your therapist, whether it's a coach, whether it's your cousin or your sibling.
Ideally, someone who's also working on things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a both. I'm yours, you're mine. You tell me, I tell you. That can help a lot. Well, it's like a workout buddy.
Exactly.
You want to get fit? Try to find somebody who's also trying to get fit and set these goals together or go to the gym together.
Right,
that tends to be even better.
I think one thing, an accountability person that's, again, going to ADHD, but also is so good for everything else, and goes back to our point 5, body doubles are huge for ADHD. I'm always like, okay, get a body double, get someone who is aware of the thing that you are doing,
right,
and is there, right? Like, hey, I'm going to work on this right here. And they don't have to be doing it with you.
Right.
Right. They can sit there and watch you clean your bathroom. Right. And just chat with you or do something else or be on their phone or whatever. But they are there. They're present. I've had people be able to do body doubles on the phone or like FaceTime, you're on the phone or you're just talking like, I'm doing the thing. And I'm just calling you because I'm doing the thing.
Yeah.
And I need, you know, somebody to be aware that I'm doing the thing so that I keep doing the thing and I follow all the way through, right?
Yep.
So, and that goes back to that, you know, the gym buddy, the whatever, that goes back to our point 5 as well, that removing barriers to make it easier. Like if somebody is standing outside my front door at 5 a.m. with their gym clothes on waiting for me to come out my door and go on a run with them,
exactly,
I'm going to be way more likely to get out of bed
yep.
than I'm going to be if nobody's out there.
That sounded miserable just there.
Getting out at 5 a.m.
It's cold and snowy and the roads are ice. Oh man.
Yeah, like zero chance.
Forget about it. Like, that bed is warm.
Yes, 100%, right? So, but again, works for anything, anywhere. It, you know, doesn't right. matter what your goal is. You want an accountability partner to follow up with, or a body double, somebody that's doing, that's present, doing the same things as you're doing, it can also be, is really, really motivating, can really, really help.
Yep. So the question then is, what rewards will you institute, and who might be a good accountability partner?
And that's a really good question that will change based on what your goal is right. and what you need. And, you know, you may have somebody that's an amazing person, that's so loving and supportive, but you would never use them as an accountability person because they're so nice about it. They're like, oh, you know, like, I definitely have people like that in my life that I'm like, I will never use that person as an accountability person because they would be like, oh, that's, you know, too bad. Like, I know you're going to be awesome at it, and I don't have enough drive to try to make sure with that person specifically. Right. But if it's like somebody else that it's like, oh yeah, if I have to go tell them that I didn't do the thing, I'm definitely going to make sure I just do the thing so I don't have to tell them, you know? So again, right. accountability person isn't just anyone. It's somebody who you're going to, who's going to really increase your motivation and desire to do the thing so that you can be checking that off with them and don't have to tell them that you didn't do it.
Right.
Okay. Number 7 is to track your progress. So, because again, even small wins, all those little tiny baby steps, all of that stuff increases motivation.
It really is a sense of accomplishment, even the little things. Mm-hmm. And we need that. Remember, you're getting little hits of dopamine yep. for accomplishment. So we're yep. just trying to add this up.
Yeah. So whether that's like a journal, whether it's a habit tracker, app to monitor that growth, whether it is a sticky note that you are crossing items off, right?
Yeah. There's a really good app called Habit Share. It's free yes. and you can create habits and every day one. And you can even share it, which is really cool. So you can send it to somebody to see it.
Partner, yep. right? Built right in there yep. and they can watch and see what you're doing. Yeah. It's fantastic. That's a really great app, but whatever that progress is, you want to be able to see the little changes, even if that's like over time, like, oh, look, this week or this month, I did this, you know, better than I did it last month.
Right.
Even if I'm not 100% all the way to my goal yet.
Right.
Our question with that is then, how will you track your progress? What is that going to look like?
Yeah. Think about it.
One of my, like, my kids really like, and actually other adult people that I know really like the, there's a Finch
kids
app.
Kids and adults?
Have you seen a little Finch app?
Uh-uh.
It's kind of like Habit Tracker, except it's way more, I don't know how to explain it. It's like this little bird, and then you have your little goals. And so when you check off your goals, then your bird gets to do things. Like it gets to go on a little trip, or you get to buy it a hat, or you get to like do all these little things.
That's
and
good.
Then the little bird will like kind of check in with you, right? With your little notifications.
Because the bird
and stuff.
Wants to do some stuff.
Because it wants, your bird wants to go on a trip. That's a good idea. It wants to do little things. So I have a lot of people that really like that Finch app for that, you know, that reason, because it's not maybe like not it. As motivating for yourself, but man, my little bird is going to get, you know, get to go do something cool, or I get to pick a little outfit for it or something.
I like it.
So, okay. The 8th one is to accept that motivation fluctuates.
Right. Just accept it. It's okay.
Yes. No shame, no beating
expect
yourself
it.
Up.
Accept and expect.
Yes. Yes. Because I think one of the patterns and habits, I mean, I certainly get into this, is like, oh, I'm so motivated. I don't need to do all the things because I'm so motivated. I will just do it.
Right. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Yes. Yeah. It'll be fine. The famous last
sure
words.
Sure it will.
So if you just accept it and expect it, then you're going to be much more likely to have built all these things into your systems. You've made these goals, you're doing those things. And then when it's really hard that day it's easier to say, yeah, but I just do this thing and tomorrow I might actually be motivated even if today I'm not. And you don't get as down and discouraged and shaming of yourself, right, as you would otherwise.
Yep.
So one of the things that can help with that is having a smaller version of your goals for that day, right? A default action.
Yep.
For when it's really, really hard. And you know what? I just can't do 25 miles on the bike today.
Because you know there's a big difference between doing something.
Yes.
Versus.
Versus nothing. Doing
nothing.
It's huge.
Huge on our psyche. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yep. And so when you have that as a possibility, it gives you more room to make more decisions as well. So if it's like, okay, you know, low motivation day, I can't do 25 miles on the bike, but I could do 5.
Right.
That's 5 miles is going to take me how many minutes? Not very many minutes, right? Yep. Like, and so you have something that you can do. So you've still accomplished, you're still getting the motivation, the dopamine from that space. And then you can go, oh, actually, this is just like a low motivation moment and I'm totally fine now, yeah, and I can, yep, do my 25 or I can do 10 or whatever. But if you have that time when, gosh, you know, actually I only got 2 hours of sleep last night and I forgot to eat dinner and whatever. And so now I'm in a space where I really, or I'm starting to feel sick. Like I am not, it's a good idea to not do the 25, right? You've still done a little something,
right,
that is pushing you through, and then you've still like, oh, I can still mark that I'm 100% well, yeah, on my goals. It
feels like you're maintaining the momentum.
Yes.
Because again, if it's exactly nothing, then it's like a stop.
Yes.
And we tend to sort of be like, I've been doing it for this long. The longer I do it, the more momentum I have. I don't want to mess that up. Mm-hmm. And if it's like nothing, it feels like starting over.
Yes.
And if we can avoid that, that's good. So have something that's still the thing, even if not all, yes, the way, but you'll still feel like, hey, I'm still going. I slowed a bit, but I didn't quit.
Yes.
I didn't give up. And it's, that's going to help a lot.
Yep. I think that's why I like biking better than running.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can stop pedaling and I'm still moving for a little bit, you know? Like, and if I stop running for 10
that's
seconds,
true,
it's,
yeah,
a lot harder to start running
that's
again
true, that's true,
than it is to just start pedaling again after 10 seconds.
That's true. I never even thought of that.
Maybe that's a thing. I don't know. So the question is then, what is your default action? What's your smaller version for low motivation days?
Yep. Have that figured out. It will help a lot. And finally, number 9.
Woohoo.
And this is a good one. This maybe should be higher. I'll have to decide. But so number 9 is focus on identity, not just goals. So this kind of goes back, yes, to, mm-hmm, when we want to write the goal and focus on a positive and not a negative. It's kind of like,
right,
that. So in other words, instead of saying, I want to write a book, think, I am a writer.
Yeah.
And that identity is also going to add to the motivation.
Right.
Because then think about, it's time to get up in the morning. Let's say you're getting up early to write.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, well, I am a writer, that feels like what writers do.
Yes.
Is they would get up to write.
Yes.
Versus, you know, I want to write. Well, that again is fickle. It'll come and go.
Right.
But if you identify as a person who does those things, it just makes it easier. Remember, so much of this is just trying to make it easier. Again, removing barriers,
uh-huh,
and how you identify is going to help you.
Yes. Yep. And it helps you stick with and stay in those spaces. Yeah. I'm a marathon runner, so I get up at, you know, whatever.
I'm a fit person.
Yes.
I'm a healthy person.
Uh-huh.
I'm balanced.
Yep. Healthy, balanced people do this, 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 and this. And that's just what they do.
That's what they do.
And I think that helps too, especially when we're looking at those spaces of sobriety and things like that, where I think it can feel very overwhelming right? To do all, I've got to do all these things. Right. I've got, there's so much. I'm going to have to change like my whole life.
I know, that's the thing, because what identity are you thinking about?
Yeah. I'm
that's not who I am.
The addict. Yep. You know, I've got to like be, but one of those, you know, shifting points is like, well, this is just 80% of these things that you're going to be doing are things that healthy people do anyway.
Yeah.
And so when we shift that mindset away from like, oh, like I have to do this because I'm an addict and I'm just like a mess and whatever, to like, oh, like I'm, you know, I want to be healthy. I'm a healthy person. Like, yep. I'm going to be a healthy person moving forward.
Yep.
Healthy people do these things, and there's lots of them, but that's okay. Healthy people do these things. So
it'll help
when we shift. Yeah. Shifting that identity and shifting that mindset around it. And really using that, leaning into it, makes a really big difference. Like really kind of calling yourself that, like I'm a writer. I'm a healthy person. I'm a marathon runner. I'm a whatever it is.
Yep. So question, what is your identity with this goal? So think about your identity with this goal, and that's rewarding too. And I would say, yes. Put it in your affirmations. Make it something that you're reminding yourself
absolutely.
Often of. Because remember, this is about becoming, not just doing.
Yes.
That's really the idea here. And that's why we want to reframe so this is all positive. And things you're doing, not things you're not doing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. All right.
If you do these things, I think
increase you're going to be motivation. Okay.
So right. Prove me wrong. A thing you uh-oh. Want to accomplish, prove right, me wrong and
get,
do this.
We're going to get all the...
I dare you.
Yeah.
Put it in there.
You can email David
email me
individually and...
Sherry.
Yes. I love all of these. I love having them in one place where you can just kind of go through them and go, okay. If I'm struggling with motivation in a specific area, all right, what am I going to pull out? What things am I not doing on here? How can I restructure this to create better motivation for myself?
Yep.
All right.
We hope you enjoyed this.
We'll talk to you next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Two Therapists Talking. We look forward to sharing more conversations with you. Connect with us at twotherapisttalking.com or email podcast@twotherapisttalking.com. If you like what you're hearing, please get on and rate us and subscribe to the podcast.